Jesus Christ the Lord. Behold, the youth of Galilee, the child of humble birth, incarnate Son of God is He. His blood has priceless worth. Sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia. Behold the youth of Galilee, 'tis God who dwells on earth. Behold the Christ of Calvary, God's perfect will is done. His blood defeats the enemy, my victory is won. Sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia. Behold the Christ of Calvary, 'tis God's beloved Son. 'Tis God's beloved Son.
Beautiful song, amen? Amen. It's always great to be here at Faith Baptist Church again, amen? And just want to thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for all the projects that you've helped us with so far. Most of you know we started a church 3 years ago. It's in Mexico City itself. Before we were in the suburbs, now we're in Mexico City itself. In what's called the banking and commercial center, I guess. It's where all the business is done. It's sort of like the downtown, what you would call the loop. And for Chicago, it'd be like the Chicago Loop. We're near that area. And we've been there we started a church in November, 3 years ago. And we're running about 60 in attendance. And we have about 40 adults and about 20 children that come. And we've seen several souls saved this year and baptized. And the most recent one was a lady who, about a year ago, was saved. Sometimes it's like this. She was saved about a year ago. In fact, she's a sister and daughter of two other ladies that come to our church that were both baptized in our church. And she's the third one. And she's a lawyer that got saved, and we didn't see her coming to church except for a couple of times. But then she was in a car accident in May of this year, and she started reading the Bible again there in the hospital. I started visiting her, and pretty soon we were having Bible studies together. And then she got home after several months of being in the hospital. And after several months of being at home, we had a Bible study. And she said, "I have a surprise for you tomorrow." She came to church, amen, and got baptized not too long ago. And that's just one of the many blessings we've had this year. We've had a good few services right before we came here. People, visitors every the last two Sundays, on Thursday night even, from knocking doors. Someone just came after knocking our door about a month earlier. It's good to see God continuing to bless, and our church is in a more of an affluent area. We're paying $1,600 in rent every month for the house that we rent to have church in, and that's one of the projects that we have where we'd like to, instead of paying $16,000 in rent and just seeing it go away, we'd like to make that in payments for property that's ours, and so pray for that. That's our big prayer request. We trying to raise $65,000 in down payment to buy a building that's about 3,000 square feet. It's already got nice tile, and it's just perfect for a church. It's all open. It's the bottom of a a apartment building, but the first floor would be ours. It's 3,000 square feet of nice tile floor and just ready to put up the walls. You can put drywall walls up there and fit it just the way you would like to have it. We could put an auditorium there, have a pastoral apartment in the back for us to live in. And then it has bathrooms already nicely tiled and everything, really first class. And it's over an avenue that's a main avenue, just a block away from the major highway that goes through Mexico City. So it's a perfect location. So if you just pray for that, in just 6 weeks, our church raised $1,500, which is pretty good for a church of 60, 40 adults. So, you know, they're excited about it, and I hope you pray for that, that we could raise that. We'd like to raise it by before August of next year so that we could put the rest on credit and buy the thing. So please pray for that. That's our big project that we have right now. I want to introduce my family, and most of you know them, but if they'll stand up, please. And this is Rhonda, and then Joseph, my oldest son, and Jackson's right next to him. He's 7, and then Elias is 4, and Kelly is somewhere. Kelly's way over here with Brianna, and she's 10 years old. Well, let's get into the Bible, please. Let's turn our hearts to the Word. Open your Bible to Matthew 5, Matthew 5 for 13, Matthew 5, 13. Up. You hear me now? Okay. Matthew 5, 13. It says here, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for yesterday, Christmas Day. Thank you for the opportunity to get around and get together with the family and enjoy one another and the fellowship of one another, but also to remember what you've done for us and what you did for us 2,000 years ago. Lord, thank you that you, King of the universe, was willing to come down here and be born in a manger, be among us sinners, show us a good example, but more important than that, to die for us on the cross, to save us from our sins. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message. Lord, I pray that it be a blessing to not only the church, but to each one of us individually. It may even change us and help us to be a better influence in the circle and the world that we live in our little world, in a little circle of influence that we have in our lives. Lord, I pray that you just give me power to preach this message. I pray these things in your name. Amen. August of last year, I had a chance to come. That was our last chance to be in the States. And we came in to buy some desks. We have a Christian school at our old church, and we're still involved in that. And I went up to Austin, Texas, bought some desks and bought some desks for the kids and also desks for the teachers. And Rhonda always likes to go to the Walmart when she comes to America, so we went to Walmart. And there's something about stores when I go into them. She's always excited about going to them. They always make me sleepy. I don't know why. But I think it's the same for a lot of men. And we go in there, and, you know, I was sort of bored just watching my wife shop. And so I decided just to look around and look at the people. They're always interesting to see. And I noticed as I saw them that they weren't that happy. And people complaining, people just talking with sarcasm and cynicism. And, you know, I remember a lady just saying, I don't have anything to wear. This is the only shirt I have, you know, and all kinds of things. And I was thinking, you know, supposedly we're in the richest nation in the world, right? Sure. We're in the nation, the most blessed nation in the world. You think, according to what the world says, that riches bring happiness. We should be the happiest people in the world. Right. But you know, it's not like that in here in America. Right. A lot of grumpy people. Yeah. And I started noticing, and I was thinking, you know, it should be easy as Christians to show a difference, amen? It should be easy with so much negativism. It should be easy to show a difference. And we should show a difference. And that's what this verse is saying right here. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The Bible says that we should show a difference in our lifestyle. I'm not preaching lifestyle evangelism. I believe in soul winning. Amen? I believe it's a sin if we're not soul winning. I believe it's a sin if we don't go to organized soul winning. Amen? If we're not trying to reach our neighbor, if we're not trying to reach our co-worker, if we're not trying to reach our fellow student for Christ, it's a sin. But, you know, we should have a lifestyle that backs up what we're saying. Amen? And that's what I'd like to preach about tonight. Look with me in the Bible, please, to Ecclesiastes 10:10. Ecclesiastes 10:10. Old Testament. Middle of your Bible, you find Psalms, and after that, Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. Those who have cut trees with an axe know what it's like. Try to cut it with an axe that isn't sharp. And you're trying, you're working away, and you're working your way, and you're just not getting anywhere. That's how it is with our soul winning many times. But you know what it is? It's because we don't have a wet edge. And you know why? Because we don't have a lifestyle that backs up our soul winning. So I'd like to preach about that. I'd like to preach about how we can wet that edge, about letting our light shine. We need to be different if we're going to reach people with the gospel. They need to see the gospel in us. They need to see Christ in us. Christ attracted the people, didn't he? And he attracted the people because the people saw a different life. They saw an innocent life. They saw a pure life. Just think if Christ walked around complaining all the time. You think he would attract a lot of people? You know, he was different. So we need to be different. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. But it says here we need to show a different... Look at verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They should see a different life in it. And they should glorify God. They should end up glorifying God when they see our lives and when we share our testimony and they trust Christ as their Savior, they'll glorify God with their lives. We need to not only live separated lives, and I'm for living separated lives. I preach it from our pulpit down there in Mexico. But we also need to show our Christianity with a different attitude. Amen? You know, attitudes are expressed by the way we speak. People know our attitude by the way we speak. And you know what is the norm today? Sarcasm. Even among Christians. Cynicism. Egoism. Negativism. The people see it. Our kids hear it. Amen. Our wives hear it from our husbands. Our husbands hear it from our wives. And other people notice as well. Turn with me to Matthew 6. This called my attention one day. The word that is used is an interesting word. In Matthew 6, 22 and 23, speaking of the eye. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The light of thy body is the eye. It says, if thy eye be single, that word single means to be simple. That means to be simple. That means to be someone who's not who doesn't put on airs. Someone who's simple of heart. And the Bible speaks of it in the book of Acts as singleness of heart. Somebody who's simple, not simple-minded, but somebody simple in their tastes. Somebody who doesn't look down on other people. Then it talks about here an evil eye. An evil eye is someone who sees just the bad in everybody. You know, that evil eye, they're just always looking down at everybody. They're always criticizing everybody. They look at everyone with a critical eye. And that's why their heart is full of darkness. It's an interesting term, if that eye be single. The Bible speaks of that in Acts 2, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Talking about the first church. It says in verse 46, "And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." They were simple people. They were people that treated each other with respect. They were kind to one another. They were tender-hearted to one another. They were simple in their taste. They didn't criticize one another. I went to Oaxaca to the anniversary of a young man in our church. He's from the hills of mountains of Oaxaca. And we went there, and at that time they didn't have any electricity. They just got electricity the first time in the history of their village. And we went up there, and several pastors, myself, I was the only American pastor, some other Mexican pastors from Cuernavaca were there. And we noticed that the people were very simple. And they didn't have television. They didn't have radio. And one preacher got up and noticed that there wasn't any cynicism. We were watching several men of the village killing a cow. And, you know, taking out the stomach. And, you know, it was interesting to see. Interesting to smell. And they noticed when the men were working together, there wasn't all this double meanings in their way of their speaking. There wasn't any sarcasm. There wasn't any cynicism. They were just helping one another, kind to one another. And he noticed that. But he said, you know, there's no television in this village. And he says, beware when you finally get lights in this village. Beware when you get the television. Beware when you get the radio. Beware of the influences. And you know what? They did get the television. They did get the radio. And you know what? The young man in our church went back there and he said, the people have changed. Especially the young people have changed. It already came. They lost their singleness of heart. Cynicism, sarcasm, pride, egoism prevailed. And a person could say, you know, I was just raised that way in my family, and so that's the way I am, that's the way I speak, and that's the way your kids are going to be if you don't change. They're going to be the same. You're going to raise them up the same way. The Bible says we need to have a speech seasoned with salt. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, how many times our wife says something, husband says something, or somebody says something to us, and we know how to answer them, right? The same way that they talk to us. The Bible says we should know how to answer them, amen? Soft answer, the Bible says. Soft answer. We need to have more smiles, amen? We need to be more friendly. I like that, singleness of heart. Matthew 5:13. While you're there, let me just read again from Acts. Remember those people, simple people of the first church of Jerusalem? They were simple in their tastes. They were kind to one another. They were sincere. That's what singleness of heart means, sincere. Those people in Oaxaca, they were sincere. We could see their sincerity. But then we start watching the television, right? Listen to the radio. What happens? We lose that sincerity of heart. Start speaking like they speak in the radio. You gotta watch out for talk radio. I love talk radio too. You know, I like to hear it. It can influence you if you don't watch out. Television. Some houses, you go in their house, they got a television in every room, amen? In the kitchen, and all on at the same time, I don't understand this, but all on at the same time, you know? They're in the living room, they're in the bedroom. And, you know, in the family, they're all fighting, they're all getting down on one another, they're trying to find out how many good ways they can find a way to put down one another. You think, well, where did they get that from? And then you look at what they're watching on the TV, it's the same thing. Those soap operas. I hate those things, you know. It's so acting. They're either crying or yelling at each other. Same thing in Mexico, same thing. It hasn't changed. But you know, it affects us. But the Bible says that that church, with singleness of heart, the Bible says souls were saved daily. Daily. I wonder why. Maybe it's because the people saw a difference in their lives. Amen. The way they spoke, single, because they had singleness of heart. They were sincere people, and the people saw the difference. Now, contrast that to what we see here in Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. The salt that lost its savor is just going to be stepped on. What it's talking about is being despised by man. That's not good for eating. It's just good to get the ice off the ground, off the sidewalks. Despised. We wonder why people aren't saved. We wonder why we as Christians are despised. Wonder why we don't attract anyone to Christ. It's because of this. We lose our Savior. We lose our Savior. The Christians of Jerusalem were attracting people to Christ. But if we lose our Savior, people won't want to hear us. They won't care what we have to say. They won't listen to us. It has an effect. Our attitudes have a great effect. Please turn with your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Our attitude not only is expressed in the way we talk, it has an effect. Our attitudes have an effect on others. No man is an island, somebody said. We're always influencing somebody, for good or bad. Here we see the story of the Queen of Sheba visiting Solomon. Remember, I believe she was a pagan. She was from a country hundreds of miles away from Israel, down in Africa, or possibly Arabia. It says here in 2 Chronicles 9:3. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of God, there was no more spirit in her. Her spirit was taken away. And so was my microphone. Bible says in verse 5, and he said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. Behold, one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on this throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do justice and judgment. She got there and her breath was taken away. She had her breath taken away by seeing the happiness of the people. They were friendly and kind to one another. And they showed God in them. And she was drawn to that. And this pagan lady said, blessed be the Lord thy God. Just like it says there in 1 Peter 2:9, right? That they may see your good works and glorify God. Her breath was taken away. Seeing a different life. Happy are thy people. Think of Saul, who then became Paul, on a ship, 14 days, no sun, wind, waves, people frightened, everyone hungry, fasting, in fear. He stands up among them and says, be of good cheer, amen? Here, have something to eat. He's the only one that wasn't worried. We need to have that kind of influence. I don't know if you heard of Joshua and Caleb Thompson down there in San Antonio, Texas. They're in there. They don't deserve to be there. In jail. Oh, they could have a lot of reason to complain. You know? Praise the Lord. I was reading a prayer letter down there last year, down in Austin, Texas, in one of the churches there. And I don't know if it's Joshua or Caleb. I think it was Joshua. He was reading, he had written a letter, and he was talking about how he's being moved from one unit to another unit. And one of the men there was called the Wiz. Tattoos all over, head shaved. He's called the Wiz because he dabbles in black magic. Several others there. And he's going to be moved from one facility to the other. He had won the Wiz to the Lord and several others there. And when he's about to move from one facility to the other, the Wiz came up to him, gave him a big hug, and told him how he's going to miss him. You think that would have happened if he was complaining and griping in that jail? The influence that we can have. Joseph. You think Joseph would have been picked out of the jail and put in the prime minister position if he was complaining and griping the whole time there, those years that he was in jail? Corrie ten Boom. He and his sister, her and her sister are thrown into a prison with a bunch of prostitutes there in Germany just for hiding the Jews, sleeping in straw filled with bugs, lice. They're praising God because of the lice. Why? Because those Nazi soldiers can't enter in there when they're trying to minister to those ladies. We complain and gripe about every little thing. Don't think they were an influence there. Eric Little. Y'all heard of Eric Little, the great Olympic champion, 1924. He was also a missionary to China. He was also put in a concentration camp, mixed in with doctors, lawyers, professionals, missionaries, almost all of them griping and complaining, including the missionaries, except for Eric Little, amen. Great influence there, just because of his attitude. Good attitude. And he died there. Ever heard of that song, Bright in the Corner Where You Are? Amen. That's what we need to do, amen?
Right.
Bright in the corner where you are. What a change we can have. We can be and make. Wonder why people are so cold to the gospel. Knock doors, talk to relatives, talk to people we know. Why are they so cold? Maybe because we're cold, amen? Why are they so dead in the gospel? I mean, we're dead. People growling at each other. Bible says in those last days, in 2 Timothy 3, and this to me is so true today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 and 3. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Okay, the last days, we're in those days. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Despisers of those that are good, fierce. It's a good description of people today. Fierce. It's yelling at each other, fighting all the time, arguing, complaining, griping, the cynicism. Sarcasm. Fierce. I don't know if you've ever seen The Time Changer here. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's a Christian movie. This guy goes back in time, this preacher, and goes forward in time, the year 2000. Comes into a diner there, and they say, what do you want? I want some tea. Tea! Just complaining, yelling. And that's how I did a lot of times when I'm going to the fast food restaurants. Where was I? Southern Illinois, I went to the Subway, I just wanted a sandwich. I hope there's no one here that works for Subway, but man, that lady, Yana, what do you want on this? What was it she said? I pointed over the board. I would like to have this kind of a, don't put your hand over the sneeze board. I haven't even heard that saying before. It must be some new saying here in the States. I don't know. Don't put it over the sneeze board. I mean, man, yelling at me. She didn't know me from Adam. Fierce. Doesn't take much to show a difference in this world, amen? Doesn't take much. All you got to do is be friendly. A lot of Christians are like that. Fierce. going to their home. Fierce. Amen? Egoism, fighting, pride. If we're not careful, we're going to raise our kids to be that way. Fierce. Or we can change it. Or we can change, amen?
Amen.
Love is kind, the Bible says.
Yes,
love suffers. Love is always thinking of the best of people, not the worst of people. Love suffers long, the Bible says. Hopes. What did Christ say? By your love, they will know that ye are my disciples.
Amen.
Do people know we're his disciples? By the way we talk. By the way we treat each other. You go in a store, we go to a restaurant, people see how you talk among yourselves there at the table, as a family. Do they see a difference when you go in and shopping at Walmart or wherever you go and you're talking to each other? And I just see it, you know. Parents are yelling at the kids. Heard a lady call her daughter an idiot as they went out of Walmart today. Wow. How can we avoid the negativism? How can we avoid the sarcasm, the cynicism? Well, we can turn off the TV. That might help. Amen. Radio, talk radio. Change our way of talking. Some of us say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't change. I was raised that way. You're going to raise your kids that way too, through your example. No, we can change. Amen. We have the Spirit of God who lives within us. We can change. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:5 and we'll finish this message. 2 Timothy 3:5. All of us can change by the power of God. 2 Timothy 3:5. You know, we say, I just can't change. This is just the way I am. And, I just have that tongue problem. I just have that sharp tongue. That's the way I raised. I can't change. We can change. You know how I know we can change? Because we can 7 days a week act in our flesh, but then when we come to church, angelito. Angels. Hispanic for angels, little angels. Okay. Smile. Amen. Always a kind word, never a bad word to anybody. You know, until we get out into our vans, cars. If we can do that for 2 hours on Sunday, 3 hours on Sunday, an hour and a half on Wednesday. If we can pretend for a few hours, I think we could do that every hour of the week. With the power of God, amen. Now we do it maybe in church, in our flesh, we can act like angels. But look what it says here in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, we can have the form of godliness, amen? Angels. But deny the power thereof, and it's just pretend. But if we have power backing it up, it can be a lifestyle, 24/7, as they say here in the States. So don't say you can't change. You can change. If you don't deny the power thereof, which comes from within, the Spirit of Christ. The key is walking in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you having your daily devotions? Are you not only having your daily devotions and praying and asking God to fill you every morning, but are you continually walking in the Spirit once you get done with your devotions the rest of the day? If you do that, and if you try, I know how it is. It's one thing to preach it, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to live it.
That's right.
But we can live it in the power of God.
Amen.
What we need to do is admit, I have this problem. I have this problem of the tongue. I have this problem of a bad attitude. I have this problem of a critical attitude. I can't change, but God, change me!
Yeah.
And not just say it in the morning, and that's when we need to say it, amen, when we wake up. God, today I know someone's going to say something to me that's going to irritate me. God, I know that I'm going to something's going to happen that's going to frustrate me, and something's going to happen to make me say something I shouldn't say. Oh Lord, help me! And then when we go throughout our day, and when that temptation comes, and be watching for it, Walking in the Spirit is watching for it, is maintaining your Christianity, your spirituality. It's continuing to walk in the Spirit. Oh, Lord, help me. I know something's going to happen. Lord, help me to be ready. And when it comes, say, oh, God, help me to close my mouth. Amen. Help me to bite my tongue. Help me to maintain a good spirit. Help me to do it, oh, Lord. And He will do it. He will do it. And that's true spirituality, when you depend on the Spirit to do it. And He'll help you do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank for what we've heard today. We thank for this simple truth. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to be the light of the world. Help us to be salt that keeps its savor. Help us to speak with words seasoned with salt, with grace. Lord, help us to depend on You and not ourselves to do it. Help us to admit we have this problem. Help us to turn to You and ask for forgiveness. Help us to avoid the influences of the television and other things that keep us from having the right kind of spirit. They influence us in the wrong way. Help us to want to change. And help us to do what we need to do to change. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.